Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part three of Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 16, called The City of the King.
Psalm 50, verse 2. This is a psalm of Asaph, and it says these words. 1 and 2 says, "The mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken. Summon the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shone forth." And flip over to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. This is the final one we'll look at, although we could do more. But Psalm 84, verse 5 says these words. Psalm 84, verse 5. "How blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through, 84:6, the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah." That means pause, ponder. Think about it. It's a pause in the song. "Behold our shield, O God. Look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than what? 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere." This is the place. This is the city, back to 2 Samuel 5, the city of God, God's king, now establishing the picture of the coming king and kingdom. Just write this down for your notes. Hebrews 12:22 says, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels." This city is our city. It's in our heart. In fact, if you've ever had a chance to go to Jerusalem, to go to Israel and see Jerusalem, it's a thrilling experience. But there's going to be a new Jerusalem. There's going to be a place where righteousness dwells and where it's going to be a city of peace and a city of blessing. Peter says, "This is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed." 1 Peter 2:6, and then Revelation 14:1 says, "I looked and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads." So here's David. He comes to the city. The city is not looking forward to his arrival because they know he wants to take the city. This is 2 Samuel 5, verse 8. "And David said on that day, whoever would strike the Jebusites, let him reach the lame and the blind, who are hated by David's soul, through the water tunnel. Therefore they say, the blind or the lame shall not come into the house." Now, this has gotten all kinds of speculation. But here's what I think is going on. I think David is taunting the Jebusites for taunting him. I think perhaps at some point they sent a messenger, or they maybe yelled down to David and his army, "The blind and the lame will keep you out of here. You're nothing. You can't touch us." And I think David retorted with, "Oh yeah? Well, here we go. We're going to deal with the blind and the lame." And I think what he was saying was, "We'll deal with the Jebusites." I think this is a taunt back to their taunt. They said, "Well, there's no way you can get up here. Our city's defenses are too good." The city's impressive defense made them sure that David would not be able to come in. They didn't even think they needed a military defense against him. But David suggested they go up through this water tunnel. Excavations on Mount Zion have revealed a water shaft known today as Warren's Shaft that would have been difficult but not impossible to climb. It leads into the city from the Gihon Springs down the Kidron Valley outside the city walls. Perhaps they were also referring to the water supply that David was going to try to cut off from the inhabitants. This was a form of war. And David was going to take the city because this was supposed to be Israel's city from the beginning. The Jebusites shouldn't have been there anyway. And so it was time for a battle. By the way, let me just say to you that I don't think that David was saying anything derogatory about people who struggle with disabilities. After all, he invited Mephibosheth into his house, who was what? He was lame. David had the heart of Jesus in many ways, not perfectly, but Jesus came into the temple. Matthew 21:14 says, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. When the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant. Jesus was healing people left and right, including the blind and the lame. This is more about a war kind of taunting back and forth that is happening here. And David suggested that they go through the water tunnel. We don't have a lot about the battle, but here's what we do have. David lived, verse 9, in the stronghold and called it the City of David. There's an old city down below the mountain, the Temple Mount today, called the City of David, or the Old City. And David built all around it from the Millo and inward. David is now planted in the city of God. And I think our narrator wants us just to pause for a second. Just take a breath. Everybody breathe for a second. This is the city of God. So later, this model of the temple would be built by David's son, and his name is Solomon. Solomon will actually come through Bathsheba, and we'll get to that story about how David will blow it and commit adultery and murder and all of that. But this city is going to have this edifice. And if you just look up at the screen for a second, this is a model of the edifice, but it was an incredible structure. And what you're looking at mainly here is the holy place and the holy of holies, the inner sanctum, if you will, the place where the children of Israel would descend three times a year to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Now, we do know that worship was not perfect here, but this is where God said, you will come and meet me. This would be the center of the world. You might ask questions like, why does anybody even care about Israel today? Why do they care about Israeli-American relations, or for that matter, relationships with anybody who deals with Israel? Because this place, even though it's a small sliver of land in the Middle East, God has written his heart and his name there forever. So David built it all around. The Millo, verse 9, probably refers to a stone embankment that was built on the southeastern side of the mount to support additional buildings and a wall. Archaeologists have uncovered what they call a stepstone or terrace structure. It's about 1,500 feet long and 900 feet wide that was supporting a terrace for other structures, and they assume this was what's considered the Millo that's mentioned in verse 9. So David began to build up the area. He began to prepare it, if you will, for the palace and worship spaces, verse 10. And David became greater and greater. For the Lord, the God of hosts, that refers to the heavenly powers of the armies of the angels at his disposal, was with him. Why did David become greater and greater? Simply because God was with him. Verse 11. Then here, Hiram, the king of Tyre, other kings were even taking notice. He's this king in the north now, sent messengers to David with cedar trees and carpenters and stone masons. And they built a house for David. And David realized that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people, Israel. You ever had one of those realization moments? You ever surveyed your life? Maybe examined the blessings that God has bestowed upon you for decades with family, children, ministry? I reflect quite often on what God's done here. Tonight we're going to reflect on a decade of God's blessings. To God be the glory. He has done great things. The only reason we're here in this building is because King Hiram sent stonemasons. No, I'm just kidding. It didn't happen. We did hire a contractor. But you know what? God has been good. And we should take moments. Some writers have called them snapshots of our lives. And we should count our blessings one by one to see what the Lord has done. Amen? Amen. Don't let life pass you by without counting your blessings. Ingratitude is not a good reflection. for a culture or for God's people. Let me say that one more time. Ingratitude is not a great reflection of a culture or God's people. And I'll tell you this. Today, I look at our culture, and we live in many ways in an entitled culture. Would you agree? And I think if we're going to figure out where we need to get as a people, what needs to happen for our city, our cities that we live in, to be recaptured for God, can I say to you, there's only going to be one answer. We can talk about the mindset of people, and we can have all the political debates, but until my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, it's not going to happen. But when it does happen, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will do what? I will heal their land. We need healing.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Did you miss part of today's message? You can always listen again on demand. Catch every teaching from Pastor Michael Lance on the Walk in Truth app or wherever you listen to podcasts. It's an easy way to keep growing in God's Word and stay grounded in biblical truth throughout your week. Just search for Walk in Truth and start listening anytime.
Your financial support helps keep Walk in Truth on the radio, and it also helps us reach people all over the world through the podcast. That means someone driving home from work, someone on a morning walk, or even someone on the other side of the globe can hear the hope of Jesus right when they need it most. And here's the cool part, every gift helps. Even a small step like becoming a monthly partner for just $5 a month makes a big impact. Think about it. For the price of less than one coffee, you could help keep Bible teaching going out day after day. So would you join us? Head over to walkintruth.com. That's walkintruth.com and become a partner today. And thank you.
We'd love to hear from you. If today's teaching on Walk in Truth encouraged you, challenged you, or raised a question, reach out and let us know. Send your comments, reactions, or questions to contact@walkintruth.com or give us a call at 844-48-TRUTH. Your story and feedback matter, and they help us continue equipping believers to apply God's truth to their daily walk. That's contact@walkintruth.com or 844-48-TRUTH. We look forward to hearing from you.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
I reflect quite often on what God's done here. Tonight, we're going to reflect on a decade of God's blessings. To God be the glory. He has done great things. The only reason we're here in this building is because King Hiram sent stonemasons. No, I'm just kidding. It didn't happen. We did hire a contractor. But you know what? God has been good. And we should take moments. Some writers have called them snapshots of our lives. And we should count our blessings one by one to see what the Lord has done. Amen? Amen. Don't let life pass you by without counting your blessings. Ingratitude is not a good reflection for a culture or for God's people. Let me say that one more time. Ingratitude is not a great reflection of a culture or God's people. And I'll tell you this. Today, I look at our culture, and we live in many ways in an entitled culture. Would you agree? And I think if we're going to figure out where we need to get as a people, what needs to happen for our city, our cities that we live in, to be recaptured for God, can I say to you, there's only going to be one answer. We can talk about the mindset of people, and we can have all the political debates, but until my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, it's not going to happen. But when it does happen, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will do what? I will heal their land. We need healing. But we need healing in the most important place of our lives, in our souls. Now, David had a moment of realization, and I think we all need to just pause just for a second And I'm sure you've got some blessings to count. You may be in a tough season, but look, we've got some blessings to count. Other kings were paying attention. They come and build a house for David. Hiram, by the way, would be around even to Solomon's day. And it's probable, says one author, that the foreign influences that eventually corrupted Solomon's kingdom included influences from Tyre. Notice what happens now. So we know God's done the work. It wasn't Joab, it wasn't Abner, it wasn't anybody who was trying to help David along. But meanwhile, back at the palace, as we sum up this message, David did something that he shouldn't have done. And this shows you his humanness, and it's setting the stage for what we'll see in the coming chapters. David is not a perfect foreshadowing of the Messiah because he took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem. It may imply Jebusites. After he came from Hebron, and more sons and daughters were born to David. The king was not to multiply wives to himself, but David did it. He disobeyed God, and he would pay a very serious price for it. Now these, as the writer wants to pause and just tell us about David's family, and we'll close with this and pick it up in verse 17 next time. Now these are the names of those who were born to him in Jerusalem. Shammua, Shobab. These are two important names, Nathan and Solomon. J. Vernon McGee says these words, "From the line of Nathan came Mary, the mother of Jesus. From Solomon came Joseph, Mary's husband. The Lord Jesus Christ received the bloodline and the legal title to the throne of David through Nathan and Solomon. That is the reason the information is recorded for us here," close quote. Also born to him are Ibhar, verse 15, Elishua, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet. And then we'll pick this up next time. But just to set the stage, the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, and all the Philistines went up to seek David. By the way, this is not a friendly seeking. And when David heard of it, he went down to the stronghold. He's about to have war. The city of peace is going to become a city of war again and again and again. Until, please hear this well, the world is going to be at war until the Prince of Peace comes. His name is Jesus. You are going to be at war with your Maker until the Prince of Peace sits on the throne of your heart. That's where it starts. He wants to be enthroned in your heart. He wants to be the king of your family, the king of your walk, the king of your business, the king of your eyes, the king of your actions. He wants to have lordship in your life. And he says, look, make me Lord. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and I will add all these other things to you that you stress out about and worry about. Can I get a witness? Anybody a stressor out there? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Right? Throw it into the fire, man. He's on the throne. It's his kingdom. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when we decide to get serious about his kingship, everything else falls into place. Father, we pray over the city of Las Vegas right now. We pray over our city. We pray over Southern California. California is a state which is in many ways in deep trouble. And Father, we look at our nation right now. We look at the church in the nation. And Lord, in many, many ways, we have to repent of a lot of things. You say judgment begins in your house. We know you are kind and benevolent and gracious, and you don't deal with us according to our sins. If you did, we wouldn't even be here. But Lord, we know that you are asking that we be holy as you are holy. We know that you want us to be a city set upon a hill, a light to our neighbors. Forgive us in the ways that we have failed. But Lord, thank you in the ways that you have given us success. Thank you for how this fellowship and many like it have reached out with your love on the streets and the schools, through the radio, on the mission field, through ministries, through benevolence, through acts of kindness, through ministry to children. And Lord, there are so many people in our city. There's like 160,000 people here that are not in church this morning. They haven't been reached with the light of the gospel. They don't know the King. And so they don't know what to do. But Lord, help us to preach the message of hope, to be ambassadors of hope as though you were pleading through us, to be representatives of the King and the kingdom. Thank you that you give us grace when we fail. But Lord, empower your church to rise up. It's an old hymn of the church that says, "Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things." Oh, Lord, we need to rise up. Help us, Father. Let it start with us. If you keep your head and heart bowed, if you've not met this King, if you've wandered into this place and you don't even know, if God forbid you died tonight, you'd be in heaven. You don't know the power of the King or the kingdom. You don't know his love or forgiveness yet, but you're here. And I believe you are here for a reason. Would you bow your head and heart right now? Something like this. You know you need him. Jesus, come into my life. Pray it if it's you. I believe you're the King. I believe you died on that cross for my sin. I believe you rose to defeat death, my mortal enemy. I repent of my sin and I trust you as my Lord and my Savior. I want to follow you. I want to know what it means to be a servant of the great King and his kingdom. Lord, for those who are praying, for prodigals who may be coming home, for Christians who just want to be a little closer, may your Holy Spirit just do a work in our hearts. May you bring times of refreshing and healing and strength. May you refocus our efforts, Lord, to be ambassadors of this message of hope. And I pray all of that in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to The City of the King, Part 3 on Walk in Truth. And that was the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. You can email Pastor Michael with questions or prayer requests at contact@walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
In verse 12 of 2 Samuel 5, David had a moment of realization that the Lord had established him as king over Israel. You know, it was a moment of reflection. A moment to take note of all that God had done from the time that God first anointed David through Samuel the prophet to the time when David had taken the stronghold, built a wall around Jerusalem, and, if you will, planted the flag there for his kingdom. And, you know, to think about what God had done, God would say to David, "I will build a house for you," which we will see a little later in 2 Samuel. And this is what God loves to do. You know, sometimes our journey is long. It can be, a circuitous one, not easy, back and forth, up and down. But then in the end, we have a moment where we can just take a breath. We can sort of survey what God has done in our life, and we can realize that indeed he has built us up and he has built our house. And my prayer for you is that you'll hang in there, my brother and my sister, whatever you're going through right now, knowing that you will have that moment when you'll be able to survey. And perhaps you've had many of them. I have personally, where I've just been able to just take a breath and just say, wow, look what the Lord has done. He is faithful. Hey, if you'd like to just give thanks for his faithfulness, if you'd like to just maybe even tell us how this program's been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us at 844-48-TRUTH. That's 844-48-TRUTH. Hey, leave a message and let us know where you listen, what the program's meant to you, and how we can pray for you. It's 844-48-TRUTH. We are here at 9 to 4, Tuesday through Friday Pacific time. But if we are not here, we don't pick up or you call in off hours, leave us a message. We'd just like to hear a praise report from you. 844-48-TRUTH. It's good to give thanks to the Lord, and we'll see you right here next time.
Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Your financial partnership helps us broadcast on this station and provide the podcast for free. Also, more people like you can dive deeper into the Word of God and apply it to their life. please consider becoming a Walk in Truth monthly partner of at least $5 a month, or give a one-time gift. Please visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow for part one of The Ways of the Kingdom.
So David did consult the people, but one thing that we don't read is that David prayed about this. We don't read that he inquired of the Lord. We just know he met with the people. He said, "Do you think this sounds good?" He did say, "If this is of the Lord, this will be a good thing." And David went to move the ark. The question of why can be asked, why he wanted to move it. We could ask that question. Was it for blessing? Was it to honor God? I think it was to honor God. But the real issue is not going to be the why or the what. It's going to be the how. How David moves the ark is going to be at the center of this story.
I'm Mike Massaro. Thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.